Coming to you live from on top of the Delaware River. No, I don't have any special superpowers. And simulcast across the world via this thing they call the internet. Welcome to a very special edition of the Strike Zone, everyone. I'm your home plate umpire, Jack Furlong. Kurt Mackison is on assignment, not on the Delaware right now, leaving me working a one-man game. The crew chief producer engineer is Vinny Verderosa.
Jackie boy, this is really beautiful.
Isn't this nice, Vinny? Beautiful evening out here on the Delaware, smack between Lambertville and New Hope. This race we're covering is a charity race between the two towns. I believe it's called the Paddle Battle. Cruising along in the steamboat here on the Delaware.
Yeah,
we're going to have the races starting around 6 o'clock in that general area, and we'll be doing some play-by-play of them, and we'll be getting some information as we go.
By the way, this is PANJ Radio.
This is PANJ Radio.
Yeah.com.
It's a beautiful thing how we're using technology and wireless internet and hotspots and
all that stuff.
Everything to broadcast live from on top of the water.
Yeah.
If you had said this, what, 5-10 years ago, people would look at you like you're crazy.
No. We're doing it,
yeah,
though.
We're doing it.
And it's really, it's a great achievement for PANJ Radio.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
This is what we're here for, you know, and we're in the neighborhoods. This is our neighborhood. This is our area. We service this area with our music and with our programming, Strike Zone, In the Green Room, Food for Thought, Taxman.
Like, comment, share.
And, well, we had musical notes and Shackers and all that.
Rock on.
Still running.
Yeah.
Rock on. Big one,
yep,
yes.
Yep. Good old
Sunday night.
I saw something funny about Danny. Actually shared a funny story with me. Apparently, he was having a conversation with his daughter, and Danny got this gig as a foot model. You can't make this stuff up. And exactly. Apparently, there's going to be something with Danny's feet in a magazine somewhere.
Oh my god!
I was cracking up, and his daughter was all embarrassed by it. And what, I was just, oh, it's a beautiful love relationship there between a father and his daughter. So,
got to see these foot.
I know, right?
got to see it,
Vinny. I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm not really a foot person. But in the interest of this story, I may have to do a little research.
Yeah,
it'll be on a Sunday, though.
It'll be interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. It won't be on a Friday, because we don't do research on Fridays. Please. Come on. Yeah. We got a bunch of wonderful people here on the boat. We've got our captain. Where is he? He's in there.
Yeah.
And we've got Eric. We've got Brad.
Tom
on the camera.
Yay, Tom.
Leanne is here, Vinny's wife. Silas is here. Can't miss him in that sweatshirt.
Yeah. And that Mets hat. Don't forget the Mets hat.
Okay, yes. I have to mention, as a proponent of good sportsmanship, I have to mention the Mets hat.
What's her name?
Vivian.
Vivian's
all
here,
right,
too.
Vivian's here.
Her husband's paddling. So she's here to watch her husband and take notes so that she can make sure that she lets him hear about every mistake that he makes while he's paddling. And I'm sure she'll make sure that he knows about it 10, 15 years down the road, too.
Well, you know, things you got to remember.
It's called being in a relationship, Vinny. You know what it's like.
Yeah,
you know?
I certainly do. You yes, know? Indeed. Nothing gets by.
No, nothing does get by. Across the way over there is our program director, Rob Bell, shooting video in the other boat that's going to be following the chase boat, they call it. And looking over across at the New Hope side and all the beautiful architecture as everyone's looking over here and getting set for these races.
This is a beautiful thing.
It's
really, really. I don't know if I could stop saying it.
Let me tell you this.
So nice.
We could not have asked for a better day either. It is. You've got this beautiful azure blue sky and the white puffy clouds. You got a little bit of a dark cloud over here. We had a little bit of a passing shower earlier, but. It has made its way out, hopefully, and if it comes back, we'll yell at it. Probably only a 15% chance of rain or so, according to my weather people. But the temperatures are in the low 70s. There's no humidity here on the water.
This is absolutely perfect.
This is the kind of day you could do any sport.
Yeah.
You could play baseball, golf, football, anything.
Yeah.
This is This is a Chamber of Commerce day.
Yeah.
And the Lambertville Chamber of Commerce did not pay me to say that.
So we're anchoring here.
Yes, we're anchoring here. This is about the finish line, it seems, of the race.
Is it?
I think so. I believe that's what that little ball there is for.
It's probably a performance art.
Yeah.
Maybe a turning point.
It's either that or it's performance art.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That ball has a mind of its own.
So
looks like we got a team out here practicing.
Yeah, we got some guests over here.
We got some guests on the other side. They'll be joining us momentarily.
I think they're right here now.
Yeah. Where our guests are. Come on over here.
Hi, my name is Mike. I'm Bucks County Dragon Boats.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
We're doing great.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead and take that. So, Mike, tell us about what we're going to see today.
Well, it's an interesting thing that started last year between these two towns where they apparently they're doing a lot of trash talking this year.
Oh, great. Just what we need.
But we're looking forward to some really good racing.
Uh-huh.
Really cool thing about dragon boat racing is it's a non-high-impact kind of sport.
Right.
But it's really intense for all ages.
Right, right. So are we going to see people of all ages out here today participating?
I would imagine you'll see 20-somethings all the way to 50, 60-somethings.
Oh, great. Gives me something to shoot for in those later years. So tell us a little bit more about the sport in general of what we've got going on here in dragon racing, different things that the average person may not know about the sport.
Dragon boats started in Philly some years ago.
Okay.
By a guy named Kelly.
Okay.
And long story short, basically Hong Kong kind of challenged Kelly to get a team together.
Right.
Come over and challenge,
mm-hmm.
and he did that, and they wound up doing very well
there. Yeah.
And ever since then, it's been growing. It's one of the fastest growing sports in America right now.
Is it any type of major competition? Like they're not an Olympic sport yet, are they?
Not yet. They're trying to get there.
I would imagine so, right?
They're trying to get there, much like rugby and but again, the cool thing about it is you could be any age.
Yeah, and you could be doing it.
And
you
still
could be
compete.
Doing. Yeah. What kind of prep does someone have to do to get into shape to do it? Like what kind of shape do they have to be in, or how do they train or anything like that?
General fitness works.
Uh-huh.
You know, you don't have to be super strong.
Right.
You don't have to be super fit. But it helps the more cardio you have.
Of course.
But you really don't need to have all that much skill.
Right.
You just come out and start learning.
Right. It's a lot of upper body, I would imagine, right?
It's actually full body.
Really?
Yeah, you use your legs, you use your core.
Okay.
The whole thing works together, and it's a great workout.
Are there different types of dragon boat racing, or is it all kind of the same thing? What can you tell
me
about that?
For us, it's all the same. We compete against the same teams. It's the same 22-people crew.
Okay.
And just to give you a little bit, there's 22 people on the team.
There's
20 paddlers. One person steering, one person coaching.
Okay.
That's what we'll see tonight on the two teams.
All right.
And everybody sits forward, as opposed to what you're used to seeing
where they sit backwards.
Where they sit backwards.
Okay.
So you're reaching for the water forward and pulling it backwards.
Interesting. Now, are we going to see a couple of different races out here tonight? Are we not? Yes.
I understand the OC1 teams might be out here tonight.
Okay.
And they'll be racing in between when Lamperville and New Hope are fighting for the cup this year.
Okay. Just what we need, a nice good fight between the two cities, right?
That's right.
We have a really cool thing going on here in New Hope. There's two teams that actually practice out here on on the water. So it's growing in this area in Bucks County.
Right. What can people do if they want to either learn more or get more involved or start getting involved in the sport, et cetera? Where can they go? You know, websites, locations, anything?
Bucks County Dragon Boat Association is a nonprofit organization.
Okay.
They have a full website of different levels of competition you want to get involved with. It's all up to you on how far you want to take this.
Okay.
We have teams that are considered community teams that maybe do one or two races a year, and then we have more competitive teams that would go out and do five or six races.
Okay.
And travel around as far as D.C., Baltimore, Cape May, that kind of stuff.
They staying on the East Coast mainly?
Yes, right now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like we're in for a treat today with these races. And
is that one of the boats over there?
That is. It's one of the teams. I'm not sure which one's red today.
Lambertville, I believe.
Is Lambertville red today? So Lambertville's over here. Are they getting ready, or are they just practicing?
They are just warming up.
Warming up? That's what I thought. They're all out there looking all tense and tough and... They're getting the pep talk.
Is there like a conductor over there saying row?
Row.
The person on the front of the boat?
Yeah.
And actually, you can see Christine Kerrigan standing up in front of the boat. She's one of our team members, and she's just kind of coaching them along and getting them ready for what this experience is going to be like. But the drummer who was sitting facing the crew is the one that actually does the cadence.
Interesting. So they're actually using a drum to coordinate the rowing.
The stroke, right.
Okay, interesting. Interesting.
That's the theory.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. Whether or not it works is a completely separate thing.
Now, is the people on the boat, are they new to this sport or
some may have paddled last year, but I would imagine a lot of them have been encouraged to, you know, participate this year.
What can you tell us about how last year's event started and where it's gotten to this year?
Laura Kent and Lori McHugh were the ones who actually kind of came up with the idea,
mm-hmm.
and it really kind of flourished into what it is now.
Right.
And it's, again, I believe they raised over $10,000 towards charity.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. And it's kind of created a little rivalry between the two towns.
Right.
But the other part of the event this year is rowing, proper rowing.
Right.
This would be more like crew, where you see the Olympics.
Right.
So my name's Richard Park. I'm with the Swan Creek Rowing Club. And we are based out of Lambertville, down by the boat ramp. And what you're going to see today from us is two races.
Okay.
We have a program with our youth. So we have two fours that are going to line up. And we're going to go double the length of distance of these guys, the dragon boats. Typically, our kids row about 2,000 meters, which is the same as the Olympics.
Okay.
Today, we'll do maybe 500.
All right.
So basically, the coach set lineups for two of the boats, and they'll have at it. And then after the second paddle battle, dragon boat race, we will have a group of our masters.
Oh, okay.
Masters is a very nice term for the older folks. So.
Well, your words, not mine.
So it's kind of like myself included. Believe it or not, masters rowing is pretty well defined. A lot of the folks are 45. 65.
Right.
And we'll have two mixed eights.
Okay.
So you're going to see today are four-man shells and then eight-man shells.
Okay.
And same distance, we'll do about 500 meters.
Okay.
And then we start our season now. The kids will be racing in Philadelphia twice and then D.C.
Right.
And then the men will be doing the same races, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great sport.
Yeah.
A lot of family involvement. A lot of parents are here. And then, it's one of those nice days to spend on the river. You can start seeing they're coming out now, the kids in the four-man shell.
Okay. Yep, that's them out there.
Yeah.
Is there any differences between what you've got from us versus the dragon boat racing? I mean, obviously,
absolutely.
Tell the layman the differences between the two sports.
Okay. Well, first off, the dragon boat guys, they paddle.
Right.
Right. And they have a paddle each hand.
Okay.
They also go and they actually paddle in the direction they're going.
Right. Whereas you guys are reverse.
Exactly.
Okay.
So what happens here is you'll see the kids go by. Now we also have one oar per rower. It's called sweep rowing.
Right.
And what's going to happen is to steer the boat, because they're going backwards, we have what's called a coxswain.
Okay.
No different than the drummer and the coach they have on the dragon boats.
Okay.
Except everything is reversed.
Reversed. Okay. That's important to know.
So we're good partnership with the Dragon Boat Club, the Bucks County Blazing Dragons.
Good.
The Powerboat Club and Relentless. Mm-hmm. In fact, we actually had some meetings over the years say, hey, you know what? How do you guys row? Which way do you go?
Right.
We had a meeting about navigation of the river.
Right.
Actually, today we are going opposite of our normal course.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. Just throwing everybody off.
Exactly. Well, it's funny. Philadelphia goes this course. So we're going to go upriver and then go on the Jersey side and race down.
Okay.
Typically, we go upriver on the Jersey side and race down the Pennsylvania side.
Right.
But because the spectators are more by the station.
But, yeah.
It's the exact same in Philadelphia.
Right.
That's the only other race course that I know of now that has it that way. Usually it's opposite.
It's the other way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
And same type of thing where you need, it's probably a regular, general exercise to be in good shape for this,
Yes.
Because someone like me, who's a complete layman to the sport, I'm thinking upper body is probably more important. But what Mike was talking about was, lot of
core.
Lower, it's everything.
Yeah.
You got to have the legs behind you as well.
So what we do is, once we start, the men's team in particular, we start in the kids, we started getting pretty competitive. So the kids work out year-round.
Okay. They have the energy to do that, too.
That's true, yeah. we have these called rowing machines, the ergs.
Right.
They're the same things you see in the local gyms, the
right.
Concept 2 machines,
yep.
Except for we calibrate them, so you got to do 2,000 meters in, 7 minutes.
Interesting.
Yeah,
that's kind of intense, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If I do the math real quick here, and I took calculus, Vinny, contrary to popular belief, that's intense.
It's very intense.
Yeah.
And there's actually indoor regattas during the off season. So we do indoor training. Mm-hmm. We balance core workouts. So the kids do circuits. We do circuits. We do the indoor rowing.
Right.
And then by the time we hit the water, it's more or less working with the coach, getting the technique down.
Right. Okay.
And so it should be, these guys should be ready to go. Their first race is Independence Day Regatta, which is actually a pretty big event in Philadelphia.
Yep.
And our first race is also in the Schuylkill. It's called the Schuylkill Navy Regatta, mm-hmm. and the men's eight's going for a three-peat.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you got something on the line here.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
A lot of trash talking, I'm sure, involved in
that. Yeah, it is. You know, it's funny. For years, we ran into problems. St. Cruz beat us, and then...
Right.
Yeah.
Does the rivalry kind of, really pick up in the same way? I mean, imagine... I mean, I'm looking... I look at the sport, and I think...
There they go.
Yeah. There's New Hope.
They have a drum. We don't have a drum.
Uh-huh.
I'm jealous.
Hey, really?
Someone raise some funds for them. But it seems like this is the type of sport that people might be a little bit more friendly. People would understand that the nature of competition. You don't normally have incidents in something like this. Yeah, that's good to hear.
In fact, tomorrow we're having our open house.
Okay.
Because tomorrow's actually National Learn to Row Day, sponsored by U.S. Rowing.
Okay. Will that trend on Twitter?
Sure.
Okay.
Actually, I think it is actually
good.
U.S. Rowing's in Princeton. And they manage the Olympic team, national team, which works out of Mercer Lake.
Okay, yep.
Right here in the area. And so we have an invitation out to a bunch of folks who have contacted us mm-hmm. through our website.
Okay.
Want to know about rowing.
Okay.
You know, the reality is you get a 10-week course, but then it takes really about a year.
Oh, I would imagine, yeah. Let's see what we got going on here. We're about at 6 o'clock, so it's pretty close to race time.
Well, there they are getting ready, I think.
Hey there.
Hey, Scott.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Am I talking into this thing okay?
Yeah, we got you perfectly, man.
All right.
Thanks for giving us a couple of minutes.
Absolutely.
So tell us about the boat and about the program, everything you can give us.
Sure.
Let's hear it.
All right. Well, so my position tonight is as a relief captain.
Mm-hmm.
This is a vessel that's checked out, inspected by the U.S. Coast Guard, so... We're safe for passengers. Matter of fact, our bread and butter is taking out kids. We'll take out school groups, scout groups, summer camp groups, and the like. That's actually how I got introduced to the vessel. I'm a school teacher when I'm not a captain. And I brought my fourth graders out here about 10 years ago or so, and have been involved with the organization in several different ways since. It's a wonderful experience. I'm currently a fifth grade teacher, and I find it to be of great value to get my students out on the river.
Mm-hmm.
And I quickly learned that I wasn't about to take a bunch of 10-year-olds in a bunch of canoes. I learned teacher school.
I was going to say, that sounds like a recipe for disaster.
And so I looked around and got some good advice and tracked down this organization. I've been coming back ever since.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. As a matter of fact, my class, which is now a fifth grade class, is coming out on her next Wednesday.
Great. That's great. And this is used as a floating classroom. Is that basically how you would bill it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well said. It supplements what we learn in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so... It's several things. It is a way for them to see things like the Delaware and Raritan Canal, which mm-hmm. is right behind where we dock.
Right.
We study that in school. It's a way for them to think about a watershed. For example, when we come out, we utilize a wonderful 3D model of a watershed right here on the boat while they're floating down the river. It makes it all real. We also talk about water quality. We do some testing.
Right.
We look at macroinvertebrates, so critters that are in the water besides fish,
right,
if you will. Another thing that we do is just, and I think this is perhaps the most important, is we just have a good, positive, fun experience on the water.
Right. Oh, absolutely. That's got to be important. I mean, kids don't, you know, pressured in so many different ways as to growing up.
So I teach up in Kingwood Township, and that township up near Frenchtown borders a lot of the river. So there's miles of that township on the river, and yet I find that a lot of kids aren't too familiar with, you know, this is like our... So here's the way I put it. I say if I was a school teacher out in Arizona, I feel it would be contingent upon me to at some point teach them about the Grand Canyon.
Makes sense.
Right? You wouldn't want to, say, go through your K-8 education in Arizona and not know anything about the Grand Canyon. Right.
That seems like you would be derelict in your duties.
Absolutely. You travel somewhere, you move somewhere, and they're gonna ask you about the Grand Canyon.
Right, right.
So my thinking is that this beautiful river, this beautiful resource that we need and that we can also enjoy, is like our Grand Canyon.
That makes perfect sense, and it's great that you take advantage. It looks like the race has just started. Both teams are just out of the gate.
Yeah.
Looks like New Hope might have a slight edge here as they're coming up. New Hope is on the right, and Lambertville, I believe, is on the left in the red.
In the red, yes.
Lambertville's in the red. New Hope is in the blue.
I don't know. I think it's pretty close.
It's still very much neck and neck. We're at an angle, so I think New Hope might have a slight edge, but it is neck and neck.
Wow.
They're both approaching the finish line now.
Yes. This is a photo finish, folks.
This is going to be very close. Looks like Lambertville might be out to a slight edge here.
Here we go.
And they're coming down the stretch.
Really?
Here we go. A couple of seconds away. Lambertville is pulling away, and it looks like the winner is Lambertville by a hair.
Oh, my gosh. They pulled it out.
They pulled it out by a nose.
Do you think that was strategy there?
Oh, I'm sure that they were rowing as hard as they can.
The whole time.
But it looked like Lambertville won by a slight edge. That looked like fun.
Yeah. That was very cool.
How long of a distance do you think that is? A couple meters?
Just about a meter.
About a meter?
Just got him by a nose.
Lambertville has won by a nose. I'm calling it now. Anyone who wants to disagree with me.
That was very good, Jack.
Thank you. Thank you.
The
mayors are on both of both towns are on the boats.
Both New Hope and Lambertville mayors are on board both the paddle boats, both dragon boats.
Oh, that's
so
amazing.
Mayor DeVecchio was very pleased to announce that Lambertville won the first go of the race.
Oh, all right.
I'm sure he was.
And I can tell now that New Hope is already challenging them to a rematch.
Two out of three.
Okay. Before, this is going to become 4 out of 7 and then 5 out of 9. And it's like the World Series over here.
Well, we're drawing a crowd on the bridge.
Oh, yeah. We got a ton of people over here on the bridge.
Yeah, as you can see on our radio station, you can see all these people up there.
I don't know if you can see on a radio station last time
that?
I checked.
Oh, I made a
mistake. Think radio is audio only, but I could be wrong. You know, that they tell me I have a face for radio, which is why I'm doing this. So.
Hey, I have some information here. They might want to.
Yeah, let's hear this info, man.
Right, so that was the first dragon boat race.
Okay.
Now, according to my notes, and I think that's subject to change, but but according to my notes, next in a few minutes from now, when we can get set up, we will have the first of two Swan Creek races.
Okay.
Rich, do you want to say a little something about those races?
So this race, one boat's at the start line, as they should be. The other
Okay.
boat's a little tardy. So, but these are this is our youth program.
Okay.
So today these guys are rowing four-man shells, fours, and the coxswain is actually in the front of the boat.
Okay.
But the coxswain's looking the way you're going.
Right.
The other
kids are not.
Backwards.
Exactly. How old are these kids?
We start the program when they're maybe 13.
Okay.
And they go through a learn to row program. By the time they're really ninth grade, sophomores in high school is when they really get into the racing.
Okay.
And they race through high school.
Okay.
And every year we usually send about two or three kids into collegiate programs.
Oh, great.
One young lady today, actually, next week actually, she heads off to the Naval Academy.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, she's going to enroll
for
Navy.
Good for her.
We've had two rowers go to Lehigh last year.
Okay.
And one to St. Joseph's.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
And so it's a great program. It's good for the kids.
As a Lafayette alum, I won't hate on those kids who are going to Lehigh. But you didn't hear that from me.
So. Absolutely. So hopefully the other four gets their to the line quickly. So the starter has them. They're just kind of waiting.
Okay.
So, sorry for the delay.
That's them all the way in the back, right?
Right. They're going, like I said, they're going about double the distance
right.
of the Dragon.
Okay. So they're getting set now. They're both, looks like they're turning around
turning
as we
around.
Speak.
The adults
getting
are
ready.
Actually coming up behind us. That's the first of the.
Over here in the yellow
masters.
One? Okay.
Yes.
The Dragon boats have made their way. Let's see here. Lambertville has walked back, or rowed back. They didn't really walk unless they're Jesus. No one's walking on the water, right, Vinny?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
I think Stephen Harris is about to, though.
Steve over here. He's just paddling around.
We got some all good words from Captain here.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Scott, you want to hop back on real quick?
Sure.
Sorry to interrupt that conversation there.
No, it's fine.
Vinny's just handing you a
can mic. I grab a little more cord here or no?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look at us breaking things. No, we're not.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
You good there?
Yeah, so we were talking a little bit about the steamboat.
Right.
It looks like we got a lull in the activity.
Yeah, so let's hear.
So earlier I was saying about my introduction to it, but
right.
what's way more interesting than that is just thinking about who got this whole not-for-profit rolling.
Right, yeah.
And that's who got me involved at first.
Okay.
Bart Hobel, who was a pretty celebrated Princeton professor.
Mm-hmm.
Has had an idea to get this on the water
right.
for kids.
Okay.
He brought it back. He brought this steamboat
right.
back from Ohio.
Wow.
And she was actually originally built in, I don't want to get this wrong, but I think it was 1970. And what's really fascinating about this boat is that the only propulsion on her
mm-hmm.
is steam.
Really?
Nothing else. No supplemental outboard somewhere.
It's just all steam.
So just for perspective, before I was a school teacher, I worked on the water.
Right.
And I have a license from the Coast Guard that says for sail, motor, or steam. I spent a lot of time on that sailing part of that license.
Right.
Did some motor. And I am one of the few folks I know who has also worked on the
steam
portion
yeah.
of it. Because there just aren't a lot of steamboats around.
I was going to say, it's kind of a lost art.
So if you look out on the Mississippi, you'll see lots of steamboat-looking things.
Right, but they're not.
They're diesels yeah. down below, and there's even a paddle wheel moving.
Right.
But it's not what's moving the boat. And so on this vessel, she has one engine, the steam
right.
engine, and her only means of making the boat move is the paddle wheel.
Right.
Which is in the back, so
yep.
we call it a stern paddle wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
So she's kind of a bit of a treasure here. And let me just say something else about this cool little zone here. So as a crow flies, I'm going to say under a couple miles, we have a steam-powered tractor over there on the Howell Living History Farm.
Oh, really?
And then just over here in New Hope, we have a steam-powered train locomotive. Now, I don't know. I'm not involved with them. I don't know if
right.
they're up and running, but I believe that they are. So I find that to be pretty fascinating.
Absolutely.
If we sat right here and made a radius of maybe a mile or so, we would have three incredible representations of the steam era in 2017.
That's amazing. I know that a lot of people would be upset about that based upon what it could do to their hair, but, you know, but really? Okay, sorry.
You tried.
I tried. Thank you, Vinny.
It's okay.
That's amazing that you have, just in this small area, that many representations of steam powered.
I think they're getting ready to come.
Actually, yes, they're off. We have a team on the right and a team on the left, both from the Swan Creek Racing.
Swan Creek A and B.
Which one's A, which one's B?
The one that is on the Jersey side.
Okay.
How about that?
All right, that's fine with me.
It's mixed crews, boys and girls.
Okay.
And like I said earlier, they are high school age, essentially. And they are going at it pretty good. They're probably doing about 35 strokes a minute. And they're coming to the bridge abutment now. Looks like the A boat on the Jersey side has the edge by probably a half a length.
Okay.
So this is a Jersey and a PA boy. Oh, That's incredible.
Yeah, our kids are all from, you know, Hunterdon Central, South Hunterdon, New Hope, Solbury, CB East and West. But look,
looks like B has a little bit of it.
There they go.
B-boat is starting to walk through them.
They're moving.
You start sprinting. So
that's pretty cool. There's another neck and neck.
And they're going to come through.
Here we go.
Looks like B is going to take it.
Another.
B has taken it.
Swan Creek Rowing Team.
Swan Creek Rowing Team.
B has taken it by about, what would you say?
I'd say about a quarter boat length.
Quarter boat length? That's...
Because the finish line's on an angle, actually.
Right, right. The finish line is on an angle. So that was an exciting race. Great job by both sides over there.
Steven, you lost again. I don't know. You keep going the wrong way. They're going that way.
So that was the first Swan Creek race. That was the second race out of the five that we'll be having here today. The two dragon boats are now setting up again for their second race, the third overall in the schedule. Hey, Eric. How are you? Hey.
Hello, Jack. Vinny. Hey.
What's going on?
Great.
Good
great.
To see you. Thanks again for having us. We really appreciate it.
Wonderful to have you aboard. Yeah. Beautiful day.
It's oh, my God. It's
incredible.
Chamber of Commerce day we've got here for this race. Yeah. And the Chamber of Commerce in Lambertville is not paying me to say that.
This is just wonderful day and great races.
So how did you get involved?
Well,
you got a read to give us? What do you got?
What I'd like to do...
What's our road, sir?
What I'd like to do, Jack and Vinny, is share with you an event we have coming up this month.
Please do. Let's hear about it.
We're very excited about it.
Yeah.
It's the second annual Shad Cruise, so
okay.
Not to be confused with the Shad Festival, which
right.
has already happened. The purpose of the Shad Cruise, which is June 17th, that's a Saturday, purpose is to bring awareness to the public of migratory fish, not just the shad, but there are many.
Right.
Herring, striped bass mm-hmm. come up here.
Okay.
Sturgeon, lots of fish that are vital to the habitat. So this year we have Steve Meserv, and our listeners may know Steve. He's sort of a local celebrity. He's the fourth generation shad fisherman who operates just north of where we are, that
okay.
white building with the
yep.
purple fish. That's been there since 1888.
Oh, I was a little child then. Didn't have a job, though, so... My parents always yelled at me, why don't you get a job? Mom, it's 1888. I'm sorry, okay? Anyway, continue, please.
And
I don't know, Jack.
So we have Steve Meserv and also Mark Boriak, who's with the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection,
okay.
formerly in charge of monitoring the Delaware River shad population. And also Beth Styler-Berry, who's with the Nature Conservancy.
Mm-hmm.
And what she brings, Jack, is to the table, to the discussion, is current efforts to restore habitat on this watershed,
right.
in this watershed, on this river. So she's going to talk about dam removal, efforts to make the river clean as possible. Shad need certain levels of dissolved oxygen. And so she's going to share with us what's going on in the river to improve habitat.
Great.
Great. So we're excited. Again,
sounds wonderful. Yeah,
the dates are Saturday, June 17th, that's 4 o'clock. We have a rain date of Saturday, June 9th. And the fare for that event is
$30. Okay.
And you get to hear not only those wonderful people, but we're throwing in something special.
What's
you know
that?
What that is,
What
Jack?
Is that?
We are going to offer shad delicacies
Oh-ho.
Prepared by Steve Meserv. And... as featured on Bizarre Foods, Andrew Zimmerman. So, Bizarre Foods, shad delicacies are part of this
That's
package.
Amazing.
$30.
Is there a website or anything where people can go?
If you go to steamboatclassroom.org/events, you'll see it there.
That's great. Looking forward to that. And give us the date one more time.
That's June 17th. That's a Saturday.
Okay.
It's 4 o'clock to 5:30 p.m. Rain date. Saturday, July 9th.
July 9th is the rain date. Okay.
Steamboatclassroom.org/events.
That's great.
Should be a lot of fun.
Eric, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
How are they doing out here? They're still turning themselves around. They're, you know. As we say, we can't just pick them up and place them where they want. They have to actually row the boat or paddle the boat to where they need to be. So Eric, how did you get involved with the steamboat and everything?
Well, Bart Hobel, Dr. Bart Hobel, whom I think you've already
Yes.
Talked about a little bit on the show.
The great Princeton professor.
Princeton professor. I knew him and his family growing up. We have a photo of him here hanging in the pilot house.
There he is.
Yep. A real polymath in the sense he had a lot of interests. He was a hot air balloonist. He was a hang glider pilot. He played the baritone. He had a Christmas tree farm. He had a steamboat. He had a calliope, which is an old school circus kind of organ.
Oh, my God.
And he had a little career at Princeton University on the side. He was interested in ingestive, addictive behavior such as sugar, alcohol, cocaine.
Oh,
he studied those in the rats.
All the wonderful things that I'll be doing after we sign off. Sugar and alcohol, going right to the bar.
So he had a lot of interests, and Bart really loved the steamboat, so he bought it in 2000. I think we talked a little bit about the history of that, but knowing Bart, I kind of fell into his orbit when I came back into the area in 2009, and sadly passed in 2011. So the steamboat, we've been operating out here since 2004.
Okay.
The gala event was just across the river here, Jack, at an establishment here. We had a Mark Twain impersonator, a Dixieland band. That was 2004.
Remember those days? I finally
years.
Had a job by then from 1888, just in case anyone was wondering. I was probably under the table.
I don't know how to come back.
If I'm stumping Vinny, I'm doing something right.
I don't know what to say.
But yeah, so I was telling Vinny earlier, this is such a treasure to be out here on this boat. We were learning earlier about, how it's one of the three steam things in the area, steam powered whatnot, and the fact that you guys do so much with kids on this vessel and whatnot. It's just a fantastic, fantastic thing.
That's right. So right where we are now, we could perhaps see a bald eagle. Or an osprey or a blue heron at any moment. We have a birding class. We also might see cormorants, diving birds by Swan Creek.
Mm-hmm.
So birding is one of the kids' lessons the kids might learn. Behind us, Jack and Vinny, of course, are Revolutionary War landmarks way back there.
Oh, yeah.
Bowman's Hill, Bowman's Tower. Which was used by both sides, I believe, during the conflict, and also Goat's Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like there are people way up there.
Yeah, it looks so.
And that grassy knoll up there, that was a lookout that Washington used as...
Not the same grassy knoll from JFK, right?
No.
Okay.
No, again, Jack, I have nothing to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vinny and I would make great co-hosts.
Where is it? Straight ahead there? I've never been up there.
Yeah.
I've heard about it. But...
So... we may have talked a little bit about the science focus. That's probably two-thirds of what we teach here. Chemistry of the river, stewardship of the watershed.
Right, obviously, yes.
Right. Macroinvertebrates are the aquatic insects that live in the river.
Right.
And how they are used to be, scientists use them as bellwethers for health of the river.
Yep.
But we also do history. So we talked a little bit about Revolutionary War history. You may or may not know that the boats for the historic Trenton Crossing were hidden here in New Hope by Daniel Bray. A place called Malta Island, it no longer is here.
Uh-huh.
This is the Daniel Bray Highway on the New Jersey side.
That makes sense, yep.
He hid the boats here, so Lambertville had a huge role to play. And, of course, Washington crossed here prior to the Battle of Monmouth.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing that we talk about in terms of history is what we're standing on.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, the steamboat is considered America's first great invention.
Right. The race is off again. Here we go with race number two. Lambertville.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Lambertville this time is on the New Jersey side. They have switched sides. It looks like from here in the early goings, Lambertville again has a slight edge, but again, we are at a slight disadvantage with our vantage point here.
And here they come.
They're coming down the stretch. They're coming underneath the bridge.
The bridge, and it Well, let's see.
It looks like New Hope is trying to push ahead here a little bit. It looks like they might have a small advantage.
They have
advantage
a little
now.
Bit of advantage, yep. Yes.
New Hope is leading by just a slight bit as they're coming down,
they're in the final stretch here. I don't know.
Lambertville has a slight... Oh, I'm sorry. New Hope has a slight edge. It's going to be another photo finish.
And New Hope has won the second race.
New Hope has won the second race.
All right.
It's great job by New Hope. And just what we want is drama here.
Yeah.
That they've each won one, and it's going to be decided in the final Dragon Boat race coming up at 6:40.
Got to have a lot of energy for that, I would think.
Well, one would hope
to go up three times.
Well, I'm sure they're all down in Monster Energy drink right now.
Yeah.
Okay, it's an unhealthy dose, I'm sure. So teams are turning around now and getting the speeches from their various coaches. The New Hope coach is probably saying good job, and the Lambertville coach is probably saying...
I see a drum on that boat for Lambertville.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Looks like it in front of the...
Yeah.
Okay, great. Way to go, Steven. Yeah. Steve missed it, Steve.
Steve is finally finishing his race now.
PANJ Radio, by the way, just in case you were thinking about where you were.
Yeah, if you're just joining us, you're listening to PANJ Radio here live from the Delaware. Vinny Verderosa and Jack Furlong here on a special edition of The Strike Zone.
Yeah.
Kurt Maxson is on assignment. He will rejoin me on Monday.
Also in the green room.
This is also in the green room.
Well, you got with the green room and sports.
Which is funny because I'm the one wearing the green shirt. And you're...
I'm wearing the PANJ radio shirt.
It's amazing how we just tie it all in together.
It's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah. They have just crossed the starting line where the dragon boats would start, so they're about halfway through.
Right.
Coming down, and as you said, the yellow boat on the Pennsylvania side.
Yeah, they're actually looking pretty good for first time rowing together.
Absolutely.
It's completely a thrown together crew, and they actually are doing it. Great.
They've got more than a length. Looks like more closer to
two lengths at least. Yeah.
And they're going to run away with this thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'll cause some good
Here they come.
Rights.
Here they come, and the yellow boat. They've got this.
Steve,
they have won it.
Ho! Ho!
They have won it probably by about two full lengths.
Come on, Carol! who's that?
Oh, man.
Jeff and the Valley Rose!
Oh!
Oh, well.
That's okay. The
good news is tomorrow we're going to do this again.
Oh, great!
We're going to have the whole crew, the masters, the kids program, the youth program.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to line everybody up. And this time, the youth and the masters all mixed together.
Oh, that's great.
It's just, same exact thing, about 500 meters.
What is it? I mean, in a lot of other team sports, they talk a lot about team chemistry and whatnot.
Oh, it's all.
Can you talk about the team chemistry that's involved in a sport like this, and what it takes to get together, and how that camaraderie is built, and what that does to a team as they compete?
Well, you do everything together,
right?
So in the collegiate level, level, it's more appropriate because masters are always busy with stuff. But
mm-hmm.
when you have a crew, the coach really tries to find everyone's probably in the same level of fitness and the same level of ability because it's rowing. So it comes down to who has that instinct to be with the guy in front of them. So
mm-hmm.
how do you, bring the hands away? How do you creep up on the slide? Because it's a sliding seat
in
these boats. And then, how do you know the rhythm?
Because
mm-hmm. we don't have a drum.
I think that was the whole thing.
Yeah.
We don't have a drum like the dragon boat.
Right.
One of the favorite drills the coach has is you'll be rowing along, and he says, okay, everyone pause for a second.
Oh, we're getting our pictures taken.
We're doing important business here.
Can we charge for our appearances on these pictures?
Yeah, great job, Laura. Yeah.
If this ends up on the internet, I'd like a royalty.
I want to thank Steve Harris.
Steve Harris, where is Steve?
Oh, he's over here.
He's floating around.
He's floating around over here.
You're going the wrong way, Steve. I don't know. He keeps going the wrong way.
Hey, the after party drinks are on Steve. Hooray!
There he is. Oh, Steve is providing all the after party drinks. It has just been declared.
There he is. Thank you, Steve.
Way to go, Steve.
We're finished. Oh, no.
We got one more dragon boat race.
This is the rubber match.
Yeah, this is the rubber match. Each side has won one race so far. This will decide the victor for the year.
Now the bragging rights.
That float had been touched. Is that going to make a difference?
If No, because in our races, it just slows you down and you lose.
There they go, and they're off. Lamberville is back on the PA side to their original position. This is the rubber match of the three. The winner of this race will be champion for this year. Each one has won one race thus far. Lamberville winning the first and New Hope winning the second.
Listen to that crowd.
The crowd is going crazy.
They're into it.
They're coming down. They're still about neck and neck. They haven't separated yet. It looks like Lamberville is trying to pull ahead ever so slightly, but it's still too close to call. Lamberville is now starting to pull ahead. Lamberville is pulling ahead. They probably have about a meter of advantage.
They got it.
They've almost got it. They're starting to gloat a little bit, which is not a good thing. Lamberville has pulled ahead. Lamberville is ahead by about 2 meters, 3 meters, and Lamberville has won
the second
annual paddle battle. Lamberville has won 2 races to 1. Funny how all three teams that have won have been on the PA side. So, it's got to be the water. It's got to be the water.
Make sure you tell them about
your name. Okay.
Blame it on the water.
I will make sure that they know.
Great.
But as I said, Lambertville has won the second annual paddle battle, winning the first and third races between the Dragon Boats.
That's pretty
New Hope
good.
Winning the that second one. Great job by both sides.
There he goes.
And there goes. There he goes.
You lost.
He just lost again.
You lost again there, Steve.
In a race with a pregnant woman, he finishes third.
Yes. Oh, my God.
We are wrapping up. We have just declared the winner, Lambertville. Lambertville has the bragging rights for another year in the second annual paddle battle until 2018.
That was very much fun.
That was very fun. We had a great time here. Are we coming up on 7? We're a couple of minutes from 7. We're about to pull up. So you want to start to wrap it up, Vinny?
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being with us. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure meeting you.
Nice.
Yes. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks
really appreciate it.
Thanks for helping us out on the radio.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
That's great.
So that's strike three, and I'm afraid that this at-bat is over. My thanks, of course, to Vinny, who was just sticking around.
Thank you. All
the members of the Splash crew, for everybody who commentated and spent time with us here this afternoon and into this evening.
Absolutely.
Congratulations once again to Lambertville for winning.
That's right. And for New Hope for participating.
They were fantastic. It was a great fun.
Photo
great time.
Finishes.
Yes, it was. They were competitive races. So we'll be back with you on the Strike Zone on Monday at 1 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock is in the green room.
In the green room.
Okay. So till then, check out our blog at osipfoundation.com/thestrikezone and the Facebook page, facebook.com/strikezonepanjradio. Until then, don't get caught looking in the Strike Zone.